Welcome to the Hobby of a Lifestyle podcast, a show that looks at how our passions impact lives and drive career choices. I'm Andy Gray, a former national and world champion kickboxer. During my shows, I'll be talking with athletes, coaches, fans and more as I delve into their world to find out what inspired them on their journey. Welcome to Hobby of a Lifestyle. I hope you're all well and staying safe. This week, I'm joined by Team USA professional athlete, Laura Gruden. Laura openly takes us through her journey to becoming an elite competitor and just what it took to get where she is today. Good evening, Laura. Welcome to Hobby of a Lifestyle. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. I know I'm saying good evening. It's evening here in the UK, but whereabouts in the States are you at the moment?
So right now I'm in Indiana, but usually I'm in Arizona. But I just came off of an off season, so this is my second week back to training. So. Okay. No races probably until March is when things should start back up. Let's hope.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Now the vaccine seems to be, certainly here in the UK, they've rolled out the vaccine. So that's just started.
Yes, I hope that will allow things to start opening back up and allow athletes to start competing again.
Fingers crossed. Laura, just for listeners, would you just like to tell them what your profession, what your passion is?
Yes, of course. So I'm a professional triathlete.
Wow.
I specialize in draft legal racing, which means that it's basically we race on road bikes instead of the TT bikes. And, you know, we race in packs so we can draft off of each other.
Right.
I have been doing a couple 70.3s. So that's more of the Ironman distance.
Yeah, of course.
Non-draft and on the TT bike.
Wow.
And it's just because, you know, honestly, they just haven't been sending the Americans overseas. And most of our racing and draft legal racing are overseas.
Okay.
So my coach had me do a couple 70.3s just to at least race, you know, and get that adrenaline going again. And it's been a bit of a challenge because, you know, like I said, I'm on a different bike.
Yeah, of course.
There's no drafting. It's double the distance.
Yeah.
I'm like used to running a 10K. Now I'm running, you know, a half marathon.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, it's a big jump, isn't it? It's a huge jump.
It is. It's huge.
All double. And I love the fact that you see my coach just got me to do a couple of 70.3s. Like it's just something that you would do every day.
I know.
That is crazy. So if we go back to the very beginning, where it all kind of begun, you know, as a child, was there one discipline that you were interested in more than another, or was it not even one of those sports that you were interested in?
Yeah, so growing up, I actually did taekwondo till I was in eighth grade.
Wow.
And then after that, you know, I did swimming and cross country in high school. And then I did master's swimming at the University of Arizona. So I didn't even swim on the collegiate team.
Wow.
And then after that, I joined. So I started working at this place and I joined a group called Junior L Tour. And it's a cycling group in Tucson. And it's kind of like a charity program. And so we train kids for about like 5 months and then they race in this race in Arizona that's called the Tour de Tucson.
Okay.
And like, honestly, I've never really been on a bike and I kind of was just like thrown into it and I'm like, okay, I'll do this. And then I really enjoyed it. So I started cycling a little bit and then somebody was like, you should try a triathlon. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing it. I don't want to wear those funny, you know, outfits. I'm like, no. And then they were like, come on. So finally they pushed me and I did my first triathlon and I won, which was, you know, obviously exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm like, okay, I'll try one more, you know, why not?
Yeah,
and so I like went and did another one and won again.
Wow.
And
so it wasn't like, just beginner's luck.
Yeah, it was so crazy. And so, and then it just kind of took off. I'm like, okay, maybe I should, you know, be a little more serious. And it just kept getting better and better. Wow. And I got a coach and yeah, the success has been.
As a child, did you kind of excel at any of the sports you were taking part in, or was it very much you were just a late bloomer?
No, I would say, I mean, I swam D1 in high school on varsity all 4 years.
Okay.
So I had swimming, but I was more of a sprinter. So, you know, 50 freestyle, 100 freestyle. And then, you know, like I said, I did cross country, but it wasn't like I was, you know, dominating or setting records or anything like that. So yeah. I would say, yeah, late bloomer, kind of like what you said.
Yeah, it's just phenomenal to hear that, you know, you did taekwondo and then you dipped out of that and you decided to do some running and swimming. And as you said, you know, you didn't do it necessarily at the NCAA level, the collegiate level.
Right.
Then all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm now winning triathlons and I'm doing this. It's, you know,
I know.
It's phenomenal. Was there anything in your past school where you thought, this is where I'm heading towards triathlon?
Never. I mean, I really never was exposed to triathlon until after college. I mean, I didn't really even know about it. And what's kind of cool, it's, you know, I feel like if you truly put your mind to something and you dedicate everything and you're like, hey, this is my passion, I really love this, you really can't accomplish anything, you know? I mean, you just have to believe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so you've won your first triathlon because your friends have pushed you into it. When you're training for that first triathlon, did you literally just jump in straight without kind of really training for it because you were already doing bits and bobs? Or did you just go, okay, I'm going to have a go to triathlon, I'm really going to train for that now?
No, so before I jumped into triathlon, for about a year and a half, I started doing competitive boxing.
Wow.
So I had that fitness in me.
Yeah.
We ran a ton. I mean, he would just make us run always.
Yeah.
And I was swimming masters like once or twice a week. So I was still in the pool. And like I said, I was doing this program with the kids, cycling. It wasn't anything hard though. I mean, we would just cycle, you know, 30 miles.
But... Oh, just 30 miles.
Yeah. No big deal. I don't know. I have to be careful with the way I say things because sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm just going on a 45-minute run. And people are like, oh, just 45 minutes. And to me, that's like, yeah, that's easy. But yeah, I forget, you know?
You know, I know you don't have to think about it. You can say whatever you want. We're talking about your journey. So if it's a 45-minute run for you, it's very easy. You know, I'll just smile and agree. Yeah. 45 minutes.
Right. Six, no six, problem.
Six mile 10K, easy in 45 minutes.
I know. I had some fitness definitely from all of that. And so when I jumped into my first triathlon, I did the swim and then I come out of the swim and I'm like putting on my gear for the bike. And I remember like my lat starts cramping and I'm just like, oh my gosh, what's happening? You know, and I jump on my bike and I just take off. I mean, it's almost like I wasn't even thinking about anything. So I feel like I did better because I wasn't so stressed. I'm like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. Let's just go have fun and see what happens. And that's what you have to do, you know?
And do you feel like that experience, because you went in there so free of mind, has kind of stood you in good stead moving forward with your triathlon career?
Yes, because I feel that, you know, I have a different outlook. You know, growing up with triathlon, I see a lot of different athletes who grew up with it. And, you know, they're so serious and particular. And I know you have to be like that, but they forget to have fun. And what I learned was, really, to progress, you have to have a good time. You can't be so, you know, everything has to be so perfect. And if I don't have the right socks or I don't have the right this, then my race isn't going to, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, just go, you know? And to be honest, I'm still so new that like, I don't even know what I'm doing half the time. I'm like, my coach is like, just go fast. I'm like, okay.
Do you find that being, as you say, newer to the sport because you didn't grow up with it, that you almost get other professionals who look at you and just think, what is Laura doing here today? Like, does she not take this seriously? You know, this is our livelihood. This is what pays the bills.
Yeah.
Why is she enjoying this so much?
Yeah. Why is she smiling? No, not really. You know, to be honest, actually, at my last race, it was in Florida. They were playing country music before the race. And I kind of was like dancing and, you know, just like having fun. And one of the girls actually came up to me and she was like, thank you for like just smiling and having fun, because we all forget to do that. And I'm like, of course, you know, like,
it should be something that you enjoy. Otherwise, it just yes. becomes a job, if that makes sense.
Right. Rather than something yes.
that you enjoy. So I think it's really nice to hear that, and that you do have that fun element of it. Otherwise, I know it's a job, and but what's the point? I suppose sometimes, isn't it? Go and do something yes. that you enjoy.
Right, right. And that's the most important thing. I mean, you know, they say, I forget what the saying is, but it's something like, you know, when you stop enjoying your job, it's kind of when things just don't yeah. progress anymore. Yeah. Yeah,
I totally agree. I totally agree. It becomes a bit of a chore rather than fun, doesn't it? And something yeah. you enjoy doing. No, I get exactly. that. So you've done your first triathlon, you've won. You've done another one just to make sure it wasn't beginner's luck, and you've won. Yeah. What was the level you entered at as well, by the way? Because you're saying you won these triathlons, but was it a pretty good standard that you went into straight away as well?
So, you know, it was just a local triathlon. Yeah. It wasn't anything, you know, big time. I mean, there was a lot of people, and I didn't win just my age group. It was overall. Wow. So, yeah. And so the next two races were other local ones, kind of by Tucson. And then after that, I started entering the bigger races and then, you know, going to nationals. And wow. then I did my first, it's called an EDR race, and it's called Elite Developmental Race. And that okay. basically is a race where you qualify for your pro card. So all these people come, and top three win or get their pro cards. Okay. And so that's how I got mine.
And what does that pro card allow you to then do?
So then that's what allowed me to move to the next level. So okay. now I race as a professional, and I don't race in the amateur races
anymore. And that is now just your profession. You don't do anything else other than be a triathlete for your country.
Right. Yes.
Wow. And what is the feeling like when you go from doing these tournaments where it's amateur, but it's a very, very high standard because everyone I assume is trying to trying to achieve pro card because right. that's what they want to do. Yeah. What's the transition like going from being an amateur to all of a sudden going, well, actually now I don't need to go and have a job. I can literally just be a professional triathlete.
So it was a challenge. I went from being on the podium every single race to finishing dead last in races. Okay. And it was like, okay, now I'm here and everybody's really good. Yeah. Everybody has everything perfect, whether it be the way your shoes are tied onto your bike when you jump on your bike, or the helmet, or, you know, your run cadence is perfect. I mean, everything. And yeah. so it was a huge, huge wake up call. My first, I would say my first 8 months of racing, I probably finished at least 5th to 10th to last. Wow. I mean, it was very hard. Yeah. Very hard.
You're saying fifth, but fifth isn't really a bad finish in a pro level.
I know,
really?
I know. Of course not.
Not when it's your first 8 months of competing as well against guys who have probably been there for so long.
A long time. And that's what I have to remember in my journey. It's like, you know, I used to say I'm behind, you know, all these people, they've been doing it forever and I have to catch up. And that's not necessarily true. It's just those people are at that point in their journey. Yeah. And this is where I'm at in my journey. And, 100%. You know, with time and with work and learning what I'm need to do and working with my coach, I'm going to get there one day as well. I just have to be patient, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So when you're in the amateur ranks, obviously looking to achieve the pro card, did you have a side job? Were you working on top of training to be a triathlete?
Yes. Yes. So, I do actually still train. Work on the side, but okay. it's nothing, you know, I do virtual personal training.
Yeah.
Especially because of COVID.
Yeah, of course.
So not a lot of options. I work with an older clientele. So, okay. you know, we just set up our computers and, they do rehab exercises and Excellent. Kind of stuff like that. I used to work in a physical therapist clinic as a tech. And so, right. I was paired up with a physical therapist and, you know, they would do the hands-on work and yeah. then I would take them through the exercises.
Wow. So
I've always been kind of in.
Yeah. In and around sport. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yes. And I suppose it's quite nice the fact that, so do you have a degree in sport or in?
No, so I did, yes, so I did a BS, Bachelor's of Science in Psychology in college. Okay. And then in order to become a tech, you didn't really need a degree. They basically train you through the facility.
Okay.
And then you kind of earn your certification through that.
Oh, wow.
And so I just have that. Yep.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's because I've spoke to, I was wondering if you were going to say you went to Arizona State, because I've had a few.
Oh, no.
I've had a few guests on here who have been Arizona State.
Oh, okay. No, I'm their rival. Thought,
it just seems to be a huge state and a huge university.
Yes. That
draws in people from all around the world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Huge school. But yeah. No, I'm not a Sun Devil. I'm a Wildcat.
All right. Okay. Okay. I like it. Well, I'm okay. So you're doing these side, you're doing a full-time job whilst trying to become a pro triathlete. What did a regular week look like when you were training and working?
Oh gosh, it was rough. Yeah. It was nice because I could make my own schedule. So I could schedule clients kind of around training. So let's say in the summer times when it's very, very hot in Tucson, I would start my training at 5 a.m., go till about 9 or 10, depending on what that day entailed, see clients in the middle of the day, come home, eat. And then if I had like, you know, a swim at night or something, I would do that.
Right. Okay. So you're in a very fortunate position.
Yes. Yes. Well. Very fortunate. I know there's some athletes, they work 8 to 5 jobs and they're getting up at 3 a.m. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
No, well, I didn't know there was 2 5-5 o'clocks in the day, never mind the 2 3 o'clock. So
yeah, right.
That's horrendous.
Yes.
But I really like to highlight that to listeners. You know, it's not all plain sailing, the fact that you're a professional triathlete now, but you weren't always a professional triathlete and you've had to really sacrifice, you've had to struggle to get there. I mean, yes, you've maybe been in a little bit more of a fortunate position that you were able to schedule clients in and around what suited you.
Yeah.
But you still had to do them in order to survive, in order to fund the triathlons that you were going to take part in.
And, you know, to tell you the truth, of course, like I would have loved to have parents or, you know, people that they're like, hey, I'll buy you a new bike and I'll support you and you don't have to work and let's just see where this goes. But when you work and you have to pay for everything yourself, it makes you appreciate it so much more. 100%. And you're like, I paid to get here, so I'm going to give it 100%.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'm sure the other people do that as well, but it's just a different feeling.
I think that the more I speak to people, certainly here in the UK, what the way you've done it is the way we do it. So our sport karate over here in the UK is very much it's an amateur sport and it's not recognized by the UK government, by the sport way. So everything we do was always you had to fundraise yourself, you had to pay for everything you did. So if you traveled abroad to a world championships, if you traveled abroad to a European championships, you paid for it unless someone wanted to sponsor you or you raised money.
Right.
So everything in the UK, unless it's recognized by Sport England, is self-funded. And even now some of the Olympic sports are self-funded because funding's being drawn down.
Yes.
So I totally understand the struggle.
I know.
And what did your family think when you said, look, I've got this job, you know, I've got a job that I can schedule clients, but I really, really want to pursue becoming a professional triathlete?
Oh, it's so funny you asked me that. So, I wanted to say one more thing about what we were talking about before.
Yes, please.
So as soon as I was very fortunate because, some of the people that I worked with, you know, they saw the dedication that I had to triathlon and the success that I was having. And so I was lucky to get sponsors that way. People started believing in me and they're like, okay, you know, she's going to make it, you know, it's going to take time, but let me help her if I can, you know? And so I was very, very fortunate with that. And so as far as my parents go, so my parents at first were like, you're going to what? They're like, no, you need to go get your master's and you need to go do this. And, you know, you need to have your job. You know, that's just a hobby.
Yeah.
So I struggled with my parents for probably a good 6 months.
Right.
And then when they finally saw kind of what was going on and how much I loved what I was doing with the triathlon and that I was happy, they were like, okay, you know, we're going to support you. And so my mom, she's completely 100% on board now. Wow. My dad, I think he still kind of goes back and forth, you know, he's like, well, how long are you going to do this for? Or, you know, are you sure you want to do this? And I think it's just almost like a protection thing from him, because I'm finishing, you know, like I told you, I mean, almost last, and he's just kind of like scared or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So, but it's okay. I know that, you know, he'll be on board.
It comes from a place of love, doesn't it? It's not because he doesn't want you to do that. He just wants to make sure that his little girl is, you know, going to be okay moving forward in life. I totally understand that. You've seen that the company that you work for and your colleagues had seen how much you were dedicating to becoming a professional triathlete, and they decided to sponsor you. That must have been, I suppose that could have went two ways. That was probably, first of all, a huge morale boost to think that actually these people believe in me and I'm not there yet, but they're going they're willing to sponsor me. And secondly, oh my goodness, I'm now being sponsored to do this. I've kind of got to up my game a little bit more, or be a little bit more serious about this.
Yes.
Which way did you go?
So I definitely felt in the beginning, I would put a lot of pressure on myself, because I felt that, you know, these people are helping me get to the start line, or these people are helping me buy a new bike. And it's like, okay, I have to perform, you know, I have to win, or I have to be on the podium, or they're not going to help me anymore. And so I actually, so once a week I work with a therapist, and this was something that we had to do a lot of work on. And, you know, he helped me understand that he's like, these people don't care if you're on the podium. These people, they just believe in you because I'm sure somebody believed in them when they were younger and helped them get to where they are. And so they, you know, want to help somebody else. And, you know, they see that you're dedicated. They see that you're not out partying every night, or, you know, out doing things I shouldn't be doing. It's like, my focus is getting on the podium as a professional triathlete.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's absolutely amazing. It is really good to know that you've got those people there who are just going to back you regardless of what you do.
And
Did you feel that, even though that you'd put that pressure on yourself, did you still feel the happy, bubbly person that you come across as, and you were still enjoying the races? Did that go a little bit?
Yes. So when I first turned pro, the first two races, I came dead last. And I remember I was like crying and I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my gosh, did I make the wrong decision? Do I not belong here? You know, I was winning all these races. What happened? I got a lot in my head. And this is when, you know, I really had to put a lot of work in my mental game, you know, and just say, hey, like, we're still Lara. We're still having a good time. It's okay. You know,
of course.
Like, not, it would have been arrogant for me to think I'm going to turn pro and I'm going to win all these races.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, not that I was, maybe I was naive, you know, I thought like, oh, how hard is this? Like, I can do this.
Yeah.
And then it was like, no, it doesn't work like that.
I suppose it's just underestimating how big the jump's going to be once you actually get to the pro level. But
yes,
as you said earlier, they've been living and training like a pro for so long.
Right. So
different step of their journey.
Yes. And you could be just as talented as all the other athletes, but if you don't know what you're doing, how to conserve energy, making sure you're eating the right thing, you know, making sure your equipment is top notch all the time, those girls are going to have an advantage. And these are just things, every race that I do, especially when I don't finish, you know, where I want to finish, there's so much to learn that the next race that I go to, I just bring all of that with me and I upgrade a little bit more. And then the next race, I'm like, okay, I have all these tools now, you know, and it's just slowly, slowly. And then one day I'm going to be on that podium and it's going to feel so amazing, you know?
Definitely. 100%.
And when you turned pro, did you
go from having a coach, and did you go and seek? So you're talking about already having a physio, so you've already got a physio now. Did you go and look for a nutritionist? Did you look for a psychologist? Is any of those things coming into play now that you are a professional athlete?
Yes. So actually, towards the end of my amateur career, I was working with my psychologist.
Okay.
So yeah, so that didn't change because I turned pro, yeah. But definitely the level of intensity of our sessions did change. And I got a new coach, not because anything happened with my old coach, but you know, you kind of like outgrow them. And so I was ready.
Levels as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was ready to go to the next level. And before, when I was an amateur, my team, okay, of people, coaches, were all men. Yeah. And so I took a different approach and I actually got a female coach for triathlon.
Brilliant.
I have loved it so much. Yeah. I mean, it's just different, you know,
yeah,
the way
yeah.
they, their style. My psychologist, he stayed with me. And then as far as a nutritionist, you know, I never really got like a personal nutritionist. I've always been really good about eating. My best friend, she's an Olympic hurdler. And wow. So she eats, you know, pretty healthy as well. And so we both kind of work off each other. I have to consume 3 times as many calories as she does though.
It'll be six times now you're doing 70.3.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's like a 5-course meal.
Yeah, wow.
And then I have a guy that does body work on me. So massage once a week. Yeah. That's super important.
Yeah.
And I've been very, very fortunate that knock on wood, that I've been injury free. And wow. I think that is because of my background with physical therapy.
Yeah,
you know,
course.
I know knee stuff and back stuff. And, you know, I can, if I feel a twinge, I'm on it. You know,
yeah,
I know
course.
What to do. So yeah, I'm very, amazing. Yeah. So I have a team. I definitely have a team. And the other really important thing is I have somebody that I work with for technique. So whether it be swimming, running, biking, you know, what's big though that you have to be careful about is having too many chefs in the kitchen,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
And so I make sure that, you know, this person is in charge of this part of my career. And this person, you know, I try to keep, and then if it comes to technique, it's like, okay, my coach and the person who is training me in technique of swimming are on the same page communicating. Yeah. You know, I don't want too many people telling me too many different things.
Of course.
Because then it just drives you crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, well, this person said this and this person's, I'm like, no, no, no.
Yeah. Just tell me one thing that's going to work and I'll work on that.
Yes.
Yeah. I totally get that. So you've become a professional triathlete.
Yes.
And how does that work then? Because I know you said you're still doing some work virtually. But is that all of a sudden now that you're professional, you're funded by US Team USA or Sport USA, whoever it is the governing body for that. And then you are kind of endorsed by sponsors and how does it all work?
Okay, so it's not the same as how it is in Europe. I feel like in Europe, it's pretty different. But in the United States, we have different levels. Yeah. So there's a level 1, 2, and 3. And as you move up in levels, that's how much funding you get. So, you know, let's say at level 1, they pay for your entry fee of races and like a couple other little things. And then level 2, it's like airfare, hotel, you know, health insurance. Okay. And then level 3, it's so like that.
Right. Okay.
So not really, not yet, because I'm at the very bottom level.
Okay.
But I think as I work my way up and I make, you know, a name for myself and start performing better in races, and my ranking goes up, I will get more funding.
Yeah.
So right now it's strictly myself, my sponsors, and you know, that's
I assume once you get that pro card though, that is a lot easier for you then to be able to go out and approach sponsors and get sponsors and say, look, I'm a professional triathlete. I can wear your logo here, here, and here. Advertise you doing this if you sponsor me to go.
Yes.
Basically just do my job.
Yes. And you know what else is very big is social media. I mean,
yeah.
Sponsors are very big on, you know, how many followers does this person have?
Yeah.
What kind of things does this person post? You know, that is just huge now.
Yeah.
Before you could just go do your race. Now I got to post my whole life, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine.
And people have to be interested.
Well, to be honest, it's how I found you. You know, I just approached you via social media and I'd seen the fact, you know, I went on there and I was like, wow, professional triathlete, national winner. I was like, that's amazing. I would love to learn about that journey.
Yes, yes. So, you know, and they, I think sponsors really rely on like, are you a good person? You know, they want to get to know you. You want to form a relationship and all of that. But I will say that a lot of professional athletes are struggling with COVID. COVID has, I mean, companies are dropping athletes because, you know, there were no races and there was no way of, you know, and with no fans. I mean, that is how they make their money. And so I will be interested how it is this year with it being an Olympic year as far as sponsors, because a lot of new contracts happen in January. You know, a lot of people's contracts were up because last year was the Olympic year. And so we'll see how it goes.
I know. I suppose, does that put you in a more fortunate position, the fact that you've only kind of just got into that first level? You're not really going to see a huge difference because, you know, you're not on that level three where they're just going to go, hold on, we're no longer paying everything. You know,
definitely.
You're still getting there. So I suppose you guys that are at level one are very much kind of, well, okay, I shouldn't be affected massively by this. But, you know, it's I'm sure it's still, you know, a nervous time for you guys, but it's maybe a little bit easier for you guys to deal with.
Definitely. But the thing is that, you know, sponsors also rely on results. And because we didn't have any races, except, I mean, I did two races that aren't even my distance. Okay. Right. And I was very fortunate to do well, but, you know, sponsors are kind of like, well, is she still in shape? I mean, did she have a mental breakdown because of COVID? You know, they don't really know where we're at.
Yeah. Of course.
And so, you know, I was supposed to have like four races actually, and they got canceled literally 2 days before the race. And so that is probably the part that, you know, will suffer more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Of course. Of course. So when was it when you actually turned professional?
I turned professional a year and a half ago.
Okay. So it is very, very recent.
Yes, very new.
Especially when you're taking COVID, you've maybe had 7 months as a professional.
I know. It was, yes.
That is amazing, though. What an amazing achievement. As you said, it's probably is a later in a person's journey than most of the people have been doing that.
Yep, so yep.
That makes it a better achievement to me.
Oh, thank you so much.
No, it is. It's absolutely fantastic.
You know, and starting later also, I feel like I'm not burnt out. You know, a lot of athletes, I think we're getting to that point, especially who've been doing it for a long time. Yeah, and then with COVID, I mean, people just kind of fell off. I mean, they're like, I'm done. I'm stopped. A lot of pros retired with COVID. And so, and me, I'm like, oh no, this is awesome because I have so much more time now to get ready for races when they do happen again. Yeah. And I feel like I'm going to just be so much more prepared.
Yeah.
I was very lucky to stay mentally strong during this time. I didn't.
Do you think that's just your personality, though, rather than being lucky?
I don't know, because, you know, my best friend, like I said, she struggled a little bit and she is at the Olympic level. I mean, she's there. And she was just, especially with the Olympics being canceled, it was just.
Now, I can imagine if you prepared at the beginning of the year to be going to another Olympics and all of a sudden that whole event is canceled, that must be a huge psychological blow. Now I can understand it all, because that preparation, you know, we all hit peaks and dips, don't we?
Then all
of a sudden to be down here and COVID probably just going to send you further down. I understand that one massively.
And now with races being canceled already for next year, athletes are just like, what are we going to do? So, but you know, for me, I'm like, no, I know that races are going to start happening again. Yeah. I need to stay prepared. And so my coach has been really awesome working with me. You know, we check in every day together and, we're working hard.
And you've said about the 70.3s, is Ironman something that you want to progress into eventually, or too far?
Yeah. So in the beginning, I was so resistant towards doing an Ironman because I'm like, that is like a 4-hour race. Yeah. I'm like, how do you eat? You know what my biggest concern was? Going to the bathroom. I'm like, do these people not go to the bathroom? You know, because I'm used to racing an hour or a 2-hour race. I mean, that is a sprint or Olympic. And so, and I'm like, you know, you need enough calories and all these things. And yeah. I actually really did enjoy the 70.3. I think that I still have a lot to learn at that distance, but I think we're going to try and do some more 70.3s and, you know, do my ITU races.
That's amazing.
You know, the older you get, you do better. They say that like from 30 to 34 is your prime for endurance. You know, your sprinting kind of starts to go down and I become older.
I'm past it. I'm done.
Right. So we'll see. But yes, I'm definitely open to it. Ironman though, I don't really see that in my future.
No,
but who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
We might talk in 2 years and I'd be like, hey, I'm an Ironman athlete now.
Yeah. And I just did the 140.6 for fun.
Yeah, for fun. I won.
Yeah, I know. No,
right.
It's just, it's insane. I've spoke to it. I've got a friend who's in the full Ironman. And then I actually spoke to a professional Ironman athlete a few weeks ago. And just the mentality is just,
Yes, it is. It's a lot.
Just to get off a bike and then go and run a full marathon is just.
I know.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And I thought a 10K was bad getting off the bike.
Any running's bad.
Right?
I just don't like running. Is it hard getting used to the transition from going swimming to bike to run?
So we definitely practice those in training and they're called brick workouts.
Okay.
And so basically what you'll do is, you know, my coach will give me, let's say, 2 hours on the bike and then I come home, change my shoes and I immediately take off on the run. And I just try to mimic that. Or we've done training sessions where I'll bring a trainer to the pool deck, set my bike up and I'll go swim, you know, 20 minutes hard, which would be like the Olympic distance, and then jump on my trainer and do, you know, hard biking right there at the pool. So we definitely try to practice. But yeah, I mean, every time I'm in a race and I go from one to the next, I'm always kind of like, okay, you know, what's next sport.
Yeah. What's it like going from swimming to cycling? Because I obviously don't know a lot about, I've spoken to the athletes, but I've never asked about the transition. You obviously don't get dried. You just jump straight into a bike.
Yeah, but you dry in like 5 minutes. I mean,
not in the UK, you wouldn't.
Oh, you don't? Is it humid?
No, in the UK, it's freezing all the time.
Oh, all the time? Even during the summer?
Well, in the summer's, in the summer's okay in general, but it's still wet sometimes. You know, the UK hasn't got the greatest weather.
Yeah. So for the ITU racing, you know, you have, well, actually for all the distances, even Ironman, you have the option of wearing a bathing suit.
Right.
Or it's like the shorts, I think, with the sleeve shirt. I race mostly in a bathing suit. I just prefer it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I usually dry right away. That's to be honest, that's probably the last thing I actually worry about. Coming out of the water, going so hard, those first steps trying to climb out of the water onto the deck, you're usually kind of like almost loopy for a second. And then, you know, you're like, okay, now I'm standing up. Now I got to go jump on my bike. And then, you know, the bike, whether it be if you're drafting, you have to be mentally on because you got this group of bikes, you know, everyone's nervous. Yeah. You have to pay attention. And then that usually goes pretty fast. But I would say the hardest for me is the bike to run because your legs are just fatigued from the bike.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And then you're kind of like, okay, legs, like we got to keep going. We got to go run fast, you know? So that's the hardest for me. But like I said, my coach and I, we practice that as soon as races start coming up and we get closer, we start doing a lot of bricks.
So do you put in a lot of gym work or do you literally kind of just train for what you do? So it's, you know, you just run, you just swim, you just cycle.
No. So actually the gym is probably the most important thing for me. I know a lot of athletes are different about that, but I think that is what keeps me injury free. So usually off season, preseason, we're in the gym 3 times a week.
Okay.
And then as soon as it becomes, and as soon as I'm in season, it goes to 2x a week and it's all just power stuff, plyometrics, you know,
of course,
getting that speed. But no, gym is very, very important for me. So I'm basically doing four disciplines versus three.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But not every triathlete or even athletes believe in that. You know, some, they don't like the gym, but
if it works for you.
Yeah, totally. I think it's what keeps me healthy and strong, you know, because if I just swim, bike, and run, I'm always just working that linear pattern, right?
Yeah,
and definitely. So with the gym, I'm doing side to side, whether it be side lunges or whatever, just keeping everything balanced.
Yeah, yeah, that's brilliant. What are the aspirations moving forward?
Okay, well, number one, you know, the big one, getting on the podium.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That is probably my biggest goal. But so with the ITU racing, there's also three levels. And basically you race Continental Cups is the first one.
Right.
The next one is World Cups. And then it's the World Series, which is like the top level. Oh. And it would be an honor to be able to race in one of those races.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Right. And then probably just see kind of what happens with Ironman if I choose to go down the 70.3 road. I'm not really sure yet, just with COVID, because
of course
which way we're gonna have to go, you know. Goals are with 70.3, I mean, you know, qualifying for the world championship race would be awesome. That would be a huge goal for me. But yeah, we just have to see. I think my future looks very bright.
Oh yeah, you definitely
know? I have to put a lot of work in and be patient, but things are going to come together.
No, I like that. And what about later on in life, once you decide to hang up the bike and the swimsuits and the running shoes?
Oh gosh.
Have you thought about that far ahead yet?
You know, I haven't. And I think it's just because I'm just so focused on triathlon that I haven't really thought of like what's next, because then I feel like my energy is going to that and not focused on what I want to do. You know, it's almost like I have a backup plan and I don't want a backup plan. Like I want this, right?
That's a great mentality. It's a great mentality to have. I love that.
I don't know if everyone agrees with that, because some people are like, well, you don't know what you're going to do with your future. And it's like, no,
I suppose that's
I'll just
why
see where the world takes me.
Well, that's why you're a professional triathlete. That's the right mentality to have, I suppose. Those people that don't have that mentality is probably professional athlete. So I think it's a great mentality to have. What piece of advice would you give a young person, but any person who would maybe look to aspire to do what you've done or follow in your shoes?
What piece of advice? Let's see. I would probably say that I think one of the most important things to be successful, whether it be in triathlon or in your career or whatever you're doing, is it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, but the most important thing is believing in yourself. I mean, that's where it all starts. And I think that I used to do triathlon for the wrong reasons in the beginning, because I wanted to, you know, make my dad proud, or I wanted to make my mom proud, or I wanted all these people to say, oh my gosh, you're the best, like you're so good. And don't get me wrong, I love that, but I wasn't doing it for me, you know. I wasn't believing in me. And so when I reversed that, and you know, it happened when I turned pro, and I wasn't dominating, and I was like, okay, things need to change. I need to believe in myself, and I know that one day I'm going to get there. And it's okay if these other people don't believe in me, or they say, well, maybe you turned pro too early, or maybe, you know, you should think of a different career, or maybe this isn't going to work. It's like, you guys can think that, but I believe in myself, and I know that I'm going to get there one day.
Yeah,
and definitely. I think that's important in any part of your life, you know?
Yeah, 100%. I totally
agree. Yeah. I hope that's amazing. Good.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. And you know, what was it like, or what is it like, because it's part of your profile on Instagram, when it says national champion, what was the feeling like, and how does it feel to be able to tell people that you were the best in the USA at something?
Oh gosh. I don't even know how to answer that. You know, when it happens, you're almost like numb, because you're like, wait, what just happened? You know? Yeah. And then they like hand you the jersey. So usually when you become a national champion, you win a cycling jersey that says it on there.
Yeah.
And I remember when they handed to me, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, this is awesome. I don't know. It just, it doesn't really like feel real until that happens.
Yeah.
And then it actually like gives me goosebumps talking about it because it's just a very special moment. I mean, yes, I know it's as an amateur, but it's very special and it's very humbling. And, you know, you appreciate all your hard work and dedication because, you know, like you said before, you sacrifice a lot. I mean, I don't get to go on random vacations to Hawaii or Mexico for the weekend, you know, like I have to stay and train and, you know, I don't get to go out with my friends and have late night dinners till midnight because I have to be up at 5 a.m. for training. Yeah. And so it like when moments like that happen, you really appreciate it. And you're like, damn, like I did this.
Yeah.
Right.
How long did you wear that jersey for?
No, I don't wear it. I never wore it.
Yeah, I bet you did. I bet you.
No. I took one picture with it when I got it and then I hung it up and I would like to frame it. That's what I should do.
Yeah, that'd be really
nice. No, I didn't wear it. I'm not that person. Come on.
I love it. You should have. That would be brilliant. What does it mean to be an All-American for people here in the UK? Because we hear it a lot in film, All-American, but I actually don't know what it means and I've been meaning to ask.
Yes, of course. So I'm not really sure how it works in other sports, but in triathlon, based off of races that you do, you accumulate points.
Okay.
And when you hit a certain amount of points, that qualifies you to be an All-American.
Okay. Wow.
Is that
quite a prestigious thing to have in the US?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds
like it should.
I would say yes, because, you know, I mean, you have to win races and do in order to get that title. What is it as like, you know, big as saying, hey, I'm a world champion or I'm a national champion? I don't think so. But I don't want to downplay it. Because
100%, because we do.
I don't really know how to answer that.
No.
Yes.
It's just a question certainly for here in the UK or Europe for those who don't understand what it means, because I've heard it in so many films. What was I watching the other day? Remember the Titans.
Oh, yeah.
An amazing film. And they were on about All-American.
Yep,
and
I was like,
it sounds very prestigious and I'm just trying to figure out what it means.
Yes. So I think like in football, I feel like it's a very big deal.
Yeah.
I don't really know how they decide how you become an All-American.
Right.
That actually is a very interesting question. But in triathlon, I know that numerous people can qualify for that based off of points.
Right.
And winning races.
Obviously doing very well to get that.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, that's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for answering, because I genuinely didn't know what it was.
Of course. And I wish I knew how it worked, you know, in other sports like football, because I'm actually going to go research that after this because I want to know.
Message. Yeah, let me
I'm curious now.
Yeah, I've heard it. As I say, it's spoken of quite a lot in films, and you hear a lot of the Americans say about being All-American. And I'm thinking, well, how does that, what does it mean, All-American?
Right.
But you've explained that around the point system and the fact that you can, I suppose you're in a special band of people.
Yes. Yes. The US. And, and you know, they send you like a little certification, almost like a diploma kind of looking thing. And like you get a little medal.
Amazing. And where's that now? Is that in the house somewhere?
That's in my house, in my training room.
I absolutely love that. Laura, it's been amazing speaking to you tonight and finding out about your journey. Thank you so much for giving up your time, especially when you went to visit friends as well.
Yes, yes. No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I love talking about my journey and, you know, I get so excited and passionate about triathlon. So I love talking about it.
No, it's great. Yes. Yeah, and I've absolutely loved listening to it. So I'm sure listeners are going to love listening to that as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope so.
No, it's great.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Hobby of a Lifestyle. Stay safe, stay well, and we'll see you next time.